Today my guest is Ian Felton. Ian, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Sure.
I heard about your this idea you have for bands, and you tell us about the idea.
All right. So about 4 years ago, I was sitting at work on one of my contracts and just kind of had this idea pop in my head about a website. And of course, when I first started thinking about it, I started thinking, you know, how can I make a big pile of cash from this, which is...
It's all about the money, isn't it?
It is. It's all about the cold, hard cash. So I started thinking about it a while, and I started kind of feeling a little sleazy about how I was conceptualizing this website. So I started really reflecting. I started thinking about the things that were important to me growing up and the things that really had a big impact mm-hmm. on my life. So from growing up in a rural part of West Virginia, there really weren't a lot of opportunities to take part in activities or things like that. So one of the things that I did have available was band. So mm-hmm. I know how big of an impact band had on shaping my future and my social interactions and just my outlook on life, where if I wouldn't have had that in my life, the trajectory of my life would have definitely been a lot different. And other than band, there really weren't a lot of opportunities. If it wasn't for me being able to be in band, I probably would have just been sitting out in the middle of the woods with not really much to do and with no one really to do anything.
I'm a dad myself, and so I'm a big proponent of these extracurricular activities that my kids play basketball.
Okay.
That's their passion.
All right.
It keeps them out of trouble. It keeps them focused. It gives them some social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
They have goals that they've learned how to achieve. And it didn't have to be basketball. It could be band. It could mm-hmm. be chess club. It could be mm-hmm. anything that's structured. And
definitely.
That's a great example of that.
So being a chubby geek, I... basketball was out for me. So I pretty much had band
or nothing. You slimmed down, though, since then.
So I thought, that really meant a lot to me, and I know that there's still a lot of kids with the same situation. I mean, when you go into rural parts of Appalachia, it's still a lot of the same type of scenarios. So the counties don't have a lot of money. They don't have big budgets, and there's still just not a lot to do. I mean, you're talking about places where it might even be a 45-minute drive to the store, to the closest Walmart or something mm-hmm. like that, and there aren't really community programs. It's pretty much whatever the school provides, the schools are the community center.
Right.
So if a kid wants to be in band and the school doesn't have an instrument, the parents a lot of times can't afford it, or they just don't care. Like, they don't care if their kid has an instrument, even if they want to be in band, they just aren't concerned, or that's an unfortunate reality, but that's truth. Not with most cases or a lot of cases, but there's enough of them. But the point is that if the schools don't have the instruments, there are kids who want to be in band that aren't going to be able to be in band.
Yeah, there's an opportunity denied to these kids through no fault of their own.
Exactly. So what I did, instead of my concept, my money-making scheme, I started a nonprofit, and it's called Marching Mountains. And what we do is essentially recycle instruments that are in good working condition. So there's lots of families that have a trumpet or a trombone or a clarinet sitting in the closet that maybe their kid graduated from high school, and since they've left for the past couple of years, it hasn't really been thought about or given much attention mm-hmm. to, but it's sitting there and it's perfectly good shape, and maybe it's just being held on for sentimental reasons or whatever. But the point is that if you pull that out of your closet and send it to Marching Mountains, we're going to send it to some of the most distressed schools in the country, in places where band is one of the only opportunities that there are, and we're going to make opportunities for these kids. So, for example, last year we sent instruments to 14 schools. It was 25 instruments, and while that might not seem like a lot, I kind of measure it by the opportunities that we're providing. So, for example, if you think 25 instruments, let's say that the average lifespan of that instrument is even 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Probably a conservative estimate.
25 times 5, that's 125 years of band that, you know, my small, tiny little organization with about a, you know, less than $1,000 a year budget is providing to these kids. Yep. And really all it takes is just some passion about something, you know, the ability to come up with a technical solution to the problem, and just, you know, persistence.
Okay, so let's start by saying if people are watching this and they want to donate, they want more information about it, what's the URL?
The URL is marchingmountains.org.
Okay, and all the information is on there to donate an instrument, where to send it.
Exactly.
Are you guys refurbishing these instruments at all, or are you just basically sending them off as is?
Well, if our budget was bigger, it would be nice, and I actually just met a gentleman in the Twin Cities where I'm based out of who does instrument repair, and I would like to talk to him about potentially taking some instruments that maybe aren't in the best condition, mm-hmm. and working through him to have them refurbished. But essentially right now our criteria is that they're already in good working condition, because obviously the schools already have a low budget. So if you send them an instrument that then they have to put $40 into, it's kind of defeating the purpose because they already are strapped for
very
cash.
Cool. That's great. The show is called Technology and Friends. So let's talk about the technology a little bit. You're okay. A geek. You built this website to accept these things. What's tell me about how that's built.
So, again, I want to not. I really want to express the things that I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. So, not only do I want to get these instruments, but I want to use technologies that I want to learn more about or experiment with. So. I've actually built this in .NET, so I'm using MVC, and actually I use this as an excuse to
get learn MVC.
Well, I had already been using MVC, but essentially get the, you know, the back when it was Visual Studio 11, way back in
the beta, you mean?
Yeah. So, you know, to use the beta tools, to use all the release candidates, use Entity Framework 5 pre-release. So mm-hmm. I kind of use it as a playground to try out these tools. There's not it's not going to affect a billion-dollar website if I'm, you know, using my nonprofit to try out these technologies.
Sure.
Kind of stay ahead of the curve. So mm-hmm. it has two wins for me. One, I'm, you know, getting to put back into the community and feel better about you know, the work that I'm doing. But then I can also stay on top of technology at the same time. So all of the things that I want to use that I probably can't use in my contracts, that the companies that I'm doing work for, it's probably a little untested for them. I can do it on my nonprofit. I can still get my a lot of real actual experience. I'm actually solving problems with it. It's not just, you know, I'm going to prototype or do a sample or something like that. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a real application.
Yeah, being real, used by real people.
Used by real people.
Would you describe it as kind of the sales pitch that we use for an event that I'm involved in back in Michigan called Give Camp?
Okay.
I know we had a Give Camp here a few days ago,
yep.
but that's the idea, is that you can learn something new, you can interact with other people and learn from them, and also you can help out charities.
Definitely. So, yeah, it's a great idea.
Are you are you building this whole thing by yourself?
I actually, the first 3 years, I did all the technology myself. I actually became a nonprofit, so I went through all the process of becoming 501c3, so that people can, you know, if they donate an instrument, they can put that on their tax returns as a mm-hmm. as a charitable donation. I formed a board of governors, so people who I had either went to school with back in West Virginia, or who went on. So one of the board members, Jason Johannesson, he's a associate professor at Yale, and he works in the neuropsychology department there. And he's on the board because he went to West Virginia University, and he understands the situation there. And he's been very helpful in a lot of our research and you know, just developing the organization.
Did and he then, come out of one of these poor rural counties?
No, he was from, he's from New York,
okay.
but he went to school at okay. West Virginia University. He worked in the clinics there in very rural areas, so he definitely understands yeah. the area. And then Sarah Graham, she runs a nonprofit in West Virginia, so she has a lot of, you know, on the scene experience to help you know, just organizationally understand the environment that we're working in yeah. and also help give us direction on that. So yeah, that I started and initially built off that, but then I had some help just pulling people here and there on contracts to go in, and this latest rewrite of moving it to MVC actually had one of my buddies on the contract that I was working on. He, we set up a Git repository and just checked in. Both of us would check in code. I mean, he had a couple hours a week. It wasn't a huge amount of time,
right.
but he was extremely helpful and it helped the velocity get going. And we got a new rewrite. We moved from I don't even remember what we were on before, but that's when we got to MVC4, started using Knockout.js. We have the views now are all data bound with Knockout. We got Entity Framework built in. So the Very two cool. of us worked together and just checked into, we used Unfuddle. So we had a Git repository on Unfuddle and we just used that to check in. So it's not on GitHub, but okay. we're using a Git repository on Unfuddle.
Okay, Unfuddle is a repository that you could both use as an interface for checking things out, is that right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that. But
it's kind of a perk.
Knockout.js is an MVVM framework for doing data binding through JavaScript.
Exactly. Okay. So yeah, Unfuddle was kind of it's a project management tool.
Okay.
So that's where I was able to create milestones with deadlines, create developer tasks underneath those milestones, and then that way manage the project and know who was working on what.
Oh, so it's more than just getting code out of source control. It's also about the whole application lifecycle management.
Exactly. And then it has Git built into it. So
I see.
That's where the code isn't on GitHub, but it is in this Git repository. So it's set up right now for any, you know, number of developers. If they wanted to take part, you can still use, you know, your fun Git source control. Like I said, it's not on GitHub, but we do have it set up and integrated with Git.
Is all the code done, or are you expecting to do more work on it?
Right now, we just had a release that's a stable release. Like I said, this isn't what I do full-time. It's what I do kind of – it's a much longer curve.
So. Okay, so you still have some features that you'd like to implement.
There's some features that I'd like to implement, but it's not – I'm not actively working on it right now because I've got way too many things
sure.
going on. So – sometimes, you know, essentially there's some years where the nonprofit is extremely busy, where maybe 3 months out of the year I'm just doing a ton of work on it, and then some years it's much calmer. So basically January until May was extremely busy getting this release put out, but since then I've got a bunch of other things that I've focused on too, and I've been focused more on them lately. But there are a queue of tasks to still do, but I'm not actively working on them at the time.
Do you think that at some point you'll accept contributions from the community at large?
I would like to. I would definitely, if there's people that are interested, I'd definitely be interested in talking.
Let's say somebody's watching this and they're interested in helping out. What's the best way?
Just send me an email. Go to the go to marchingmountains.org
okay.
and just send me an email, and if you have some ideas or just want to find out what my ideas are and how you might be able to work into that, I'd definitely love to hear from anybody.
Okay. Anything else we'll add?
Just if there's something that people are passionate about or have thought about doing in the past, just even if it's just you, you're enough to get it started. And I guarantee you that if you really think hard about what it is that really gets you going, if you combine that with a technology or set of technologies that you are also really passionate about, I promise you, you will keep working on it. You'll be very happy with the outcome, and you can do it.
Excellent. In the meantime, check out marchingmountains.org. Ian, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back. How's my hair? Thanks, technology. Thanks, technology and friends from Marching Mountains. No, really, how's my hair?